If you take your Bibles and turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel is known as one of the major prophets, and major in the sense that it's not that the minor prophets, that their message is any less important, but major in the sense that he has a significant portion of prophecy that's given. And this evening, I'd like us to consider the saving shepherd. The saving shepherd. Ezekiel's prophecy is a prophecy that speaks towards the judgment of God upon his people for their sinful deeds. How God has taken the people of Israel and he is leading them into exile. How he is judging them for their denial of him. How they're turning away from the true God and going after other gods. And as a result, there are consequences that come about through that. And over again, we see God bringing judgment, bringing discipline, trying to sort of shake his people out of their complacency, calling them to turn from their idols and to turn to him. Well, what we find in this particular passage is just how bad the situation had gotten in Israel's time. It was so bad that it was not just the people. It was not just, if you will, the lay people of Israel that were involved in sinful activity and idolatry, but it had corrupted even what he calls the shepherds of Israel, their religious leaders, their the Levites, their priests, the ones that were to call them to worship God. They themselves had become so corrupted by their rebellion and the sin of the nations around them and their idolatry, that we find Ezekiel speaking as the Lord has commanded him to Israel and to those particular shepherds. And what we find here in this passage is in mankind's constant failure to obey God's word, in mankind's persistent rebellion against them, God himself covenants to save his people. There is a real shining truth of the gospel in this passage, that salvation comes not through our attempts to reform ourselves, but it comes through God's salvation brought about through the saving shepherd he sends to us. Look with me in Ezekiel 34. We're going to read the whole passage. So it's a bit of a lengthy passage. We have 31 verses, and then we're going to go back and work our way through it section by section. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God. Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely my sheep have become a prey. And my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd. And because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore you shepherds hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. And I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among the sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak and the fat, and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. It is not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and a drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of your water of the water with your feet. And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddled with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land, so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them in the places all around my hill a blessing. I will send down the showers in their season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase. And they shall be secure in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslave them. They shall no more be a prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will provide for them renowned plantations, so that they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, and no longer suffer the reproach of the nations. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. Let's quickly go before the Lord and seek His blessing as we look through this passage. Father, it is good to hear your word. Lord, we ask today as we look to it that you would guide and direct us, that we would by your Spirit be able to perceive the truths that we need today. And in all this, Father, may Christ be exalted in all things. Father, work in our midst by your Spirit. We pray this in Christ's name, pleading his blood. Amen. There are four things I'd like us to consider today about the saving shepherd. And we're going to spend a good amount of time going through large chunks of this particular passage. If I were to preach intricately about this passage, it would take us possibly months, maybe even years, to get through everything and unpack all that we have here. So I want us to sort of step back and take a broad overview and get the main points that Ezekiel, by God's the inspiration of God's Spirit is seeking to say to His people. And the first thing we see is that the saving shepherd is a shepherd who saves from selfish shepherds. The saving shepherd saves from selfish shepherds. We see this in verses 1 through 10. And we saw some themes as we read through that. The first is that these selfish shepherds, they live only for their own desires. They live only to advance themselves. There is no sense in which they are seeking to serve the sheep, but rather they seek to serve themselves. I can't think of a more appropriate description of much of what passes as Christianity today as those who are shepherds that seek to fill their own pockets. Now, we've spent time here over the months and over the years in the past where we've watched different documentaries about what we call the health and wealth gospel or the prosperity gospel. But it is a twisting and a distortion of the truth of God's word for the purpose of lining the pockets of false teachers. I give the warning today, as I've given it before, pretty much any time you turn on a local Christian television station, these are the type of shepherds you're going to get. They are those who prey on the sensibilities of individuals who want to be right with the Lord, but feel like they can bring that about by giving something to these false shepherds. These are shepherds who don't feed the sheep. These are shepherds who seek to feed themselves. It's in verse 4, it's interesting to note what they do not do. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. Anytime we look to men to be the source of our salvation, this is what we will get. Not salvation, but exploitation. Not true hope, but those who seek to rob us of our hope in Christ. In the New Testament, we find over and over again that as false teachers are described, they are described in these same descriptions as those who live selfishly, whose God is their own belly, who seek to enrich themselves. And as a result of that type of leadership, as a result of that type of shepherding, there is immense damage done to God's people. Look at the result of that. Look at verse 5. With these shepherds not strengthening, not healing, not binding up, not going to seek the stray, and dealing with harshness, what ends up happening is the sheep are scattered, he says in verse 5, because there was no shepherd. And as a result, they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. God speaks to these wicked shepherds. You know, it is amazing that in this modern day where we find this health and wealth gospel that is primarily everywhere we see when in the name of Christianity, it is amazing to see how they will make promises after promise. Send me a seed offering of whatever crazy amount, saying that God will bless them multiple ways, that if you sow a seed of so much money, God will return it sevenfold. And people do this, and they send money over and over again. And then guess what does not happen? The money's not multiplied. They will go to faith healers, and their bodies, they're seeking to truly be healed, and they go and find no true healing. And as a result of that, they end up scattered. They feel that as though Christianity is nothing but a farce and an emptiness. And so God responds very strongly to these selfish shepherds. We come to the conclusion of verse 10. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. I was just commenting earlier about how it seems like we're seeing an epidemic of Christian leaders who are falling to issues. And I wonder if that may not be God removing the false, selfish shepherds from their place so that He can be the one who brings true hope to His people. Now, what should we as God's sheep take away from this? This is a clear warning to us that our hope is never cast in any person or any institution, that our hope must be cast solely upon Jesus Christ. He is our only hope. Men will fail us. In fact, often I've had conversations with individuals who've been involved in churches, involved in good, solid churches. And they've left those churches, they've turned from Christianity because their concept of Christianity was forged and framed by a person and not Christ. Every church organization in this world is going to be filled with problems. Even gospel preaching churches are led by men who are failures apart from God's grace and who can fail. Does that then shake our confidence in the truth of God's word? Now, we're called to recognize that our hope is not cast upon any person. I think particularly in this area of how the confidence of so many who have placed their trust in an organization has been shaken because of the sexual abuse scandals that have rocked that organization. Over and over again, I've had conversations with quote-unquote good Catholics who are shaken to the core because of what the priests have been doing for years. Our hope must never be in a man or in an organization. And Baptists aren't free of that issue. There have been issues in the history of good churches where men have failed to properly enact justice as they're enabled and to even have been a part of the same type of abuses. How are we to respond when we see selfish shepherds bringing about damage through their selfish activities? Our response is to cast our hope not upon them, but upon Christ. Which brings us then to see, secondly, that the saving shepherd saves with His strong hand. We actually see this beginning in verse 10, at the very end there. As God says He is against the shepherds, He will require His sheep at their hand. And He says, no longer will these selfish shepherds feed themselves. And then He makes this wonderful, hopeful statement, I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. There is a wonderful promise that God makes that He will seek and save that which was lost. Every failure that selfish shepherds have done, every failure that they have brought about in the hearts of His people, Christ will fill the gap. Christ will do what they failed to do. How does He bring about this salvation? Well, there's a number of different things here. We see, first of all, that He seeks the sheep. Verse 11 and verse 12. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself. Now that is emphatic. The fact that He repeats His name twice. God is putting the onus for salvation on no one else but Himself. I myself. And what does He do? He searches for His sheep. He seeks them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among the sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. There's two wonderful, hopeful truths here to keep in mind. First, that God is not going to allow anything to keep him from saving his sheep. I will seek them out, he says. I will go to wherever they have been scattered, and I will save them. And then, as he promises to seek his sheep, we see secondly that there is an enormous, wonderful, hopeful truth that there is no place that we can go as his sheep where we are beyond the grasp of his grace. Notice what he says. I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. No one of God's people are beyond the grip of his grace. There is no sin that disqualifies us as his people from his shepherding over us. He will seek us wherever we go. This is a gracious gift from our God. He doesn't require us to seek him. He seeks us. Scriptures are clear that left to ourselves, there's no one who's righteous. No, not one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks after God. But our saving shepherd seeks us. He reaches out and finds us no matter where we've gone, and he saves to the uttermost all who trust in Christ. So the saving shepherd, with his strong hand, he seeks the sheep. Secondly, we see that he gathers the sheep. Look at verse 13. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own lands. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in the inhabited places of the country. God promises not only to seek, but then also to gather, to bring together, to make us one people as our great shepherd. He gathers us together. It is amazing how God chooses this image of a flock of sheep. What happens when a sheep gets by themselves? They're vulnerable. They don't know which way to go. They don't have the protection of the shepherd, and they also don't have the protection of the rest of the flock. And so a sheep that is by itself is in extreme danger. And that's why the church is so essential to our growth as God's people. God does not just save us and then say, okay, you're my sheep, now make your way on your own. He gathers us together so that we can be a part of his flock. He brings us as one people together. And as he brings us together, we see he also then, thirdly, feeds the sheep. He feeds the sheep. We already saw this at the end of verse 13. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. And then verse 14, I will feed them with what kind of pasture? Good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. They shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. God says he will feed his sheep. And what he feeds them with is good. There is nothing better for us as God's people than to be fed by our shepherd. To see his word given to us, which is the sincere milk of God's word that we grow thereby. It is the bread of life that is spoken to us. It is everything we need. God feeds us with his word. Now the question we have to face is, Is that enough for us? My fear is that so often we want something else or something extra besides what God feeds us with. Yes, I like the word, but I would also really like to see some sort of miracle. Or yes, the word is great, but I need to feel a certain way. And what we're doing is we're saying that the saving shepherd, whose goodness is abundant, that he's not giving us enough. Now, what God does as he shepherds his people is he gives them good pastures. Think of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And with the Lord is my shepherd, what is the next conclusion? I shall not want. Why? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. What a contrast from the selfish shepherds, who sought to only fill their bellies and were only self-focused and selfish in their motivations. God comes and he gives his people good feed. And that feed that he gives us, that pasture that he leads us to, it is a pasture that is available no matter what we face in this life. Look down at verse 18. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? I'm sorry, this isn't where I wanted to look. I'm missing. Well, maybe not. I hate it when my notes don't go where I'm supposed to, where I want them to go. We'll get to it. The point is that God makes this promise that even in dry lands and in arid places, he feeds his people with what is necessary. He provides for us. Actually, it's down at the very end. He says that he sends the showers of blessing in verse 26, that the trees will yield their fruit, that we'll be secure, and that we'll no longer be a prey to the nations. The beasts won't devour us. We will dwell securely, and none shall make us afraid. He'll provide for us renowned plantations so that we're no longer consumed with hunger in the land. We no longer suffer the reproach of the nations. This is the type of provision that our shepherd feeds us with. So he feeds the sheep. And then as he feeds the sheep, he tends the sheep. Look at verses 15 and 16. He says in verse 15, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. It's a wonderful, wonderful point that God makes there. He will make them lie down. He will bring us to a point where we are at rest through his power as our good shepherd. Verse 16, he seeks the lost, and he brings back the strayed. He binds up the injured and he strengthens the weak. The fat and the strong one I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. What a loving God. We see his grace and mercy evident in these verses. Speaks of how, first of all, he seeks those sheep that have strayed from the path. Those who have not come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Christ goes and saves them and rescues them and brings them into the flock. But then there is a reality that as sheep are stubborn, stupid animals, so are we. And what will we end up doing at times in our lives? We will stray from the flock. And what does our good shepherd do? He still seeks us. He brings back the strayed. It's interesting how he speaks of how he'll bind up the injured. This is something that the selfish shepherds refuse to do. But it's also something that injury generally comes about through the stupid choices of the sheep. A sheep goes off the path and it falls and it breaks its leg. And it's brought that upon itself because of its own stubborn rebellion and going after his own ways. And the good shepherd doesn't look at that sheep and say, serves you right, and leaves them there. What does the good shepherd do? He binds up the injured. There's a wonderful hope that when we have fallen in sin, when we have been injured because of our stubborn, rebellious choices, God is so gracious to us in Christ that Christ comes and brings us back and mends our wounds. He tends to us. And as we are in those moments of weakness, that's when His strength comes into our lives. I will strengthen the weak. I love what Paul says, or what God says to Paul in 2 Corinthians about his thorn in the flesh. Paul has this ecstatic experience. He's transported up into heaven and sees the glory of God, and he comes back from that, and having seen something like that, there's a real danger that Paul would think to himself, boy, I'm you know, pretty good stuff here. I mean, I'm like a super Christian here. I got to go way up into heaven. And so Paul says, so to keep me from becoming conceited, God sends a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet him or to pound against him. And Paul turns to the Lord, and three times he says, take this away, take this away, take this away. And God says, no. My grace is what? Sufficient for you. And this is what's glorious. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul says, so I will rejoice all the more in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Here we see this shepherd, this saving shepherd, saying that those who are weak, he strengthens. We're not strong in and of ourselves. And the minute we think that our strength comes from us, we are as weak as possible. We need to live our lives fully dependent on God's strength, the good shepherd's strength, which prepares us for all things in this life. And so as the good shepherd tends the sheep, so we must seek to be tended by the power of our God. And as he tends the sheep, he then knows the sheep. Look at verses 17 through 22. He says there, As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. God says he knows his sheep. And there is a reality here that he's speaking to Israel that is a reality for us today in the church. And that is, there are some who are a part of the flock who are not truly sheep. And God knows the difference. And here the good shepherd says, I know and I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. And this is what he says. This is what happens when you have that type of mixture within his people. Is it not enough for you to feed on good pasture? But as there are untrue sheep in the flock, there are those that tread down with their feet the rest of the pasture. God's provided a great abundance of things. But yet there are sheep that are going to go over and ruin that which God has provided in their stubbornness. Or, I love how he speaks of this clear water. He brings them to this still water that's flowing and fresh. And you've got some sheep who will come in and they will muddy the waters with their dirty feet that they've just finished trampling down the wonderful things that God has provided. There is a real danger in the church that worldliness can infect the church as individuals begin to accept that and begin to muddy the waters of what it means to be a Christian. Begin to compromise on what's important. Begin to fudge the truth a little bit. Well, you know, yeah, the Bible's generally true. But there are some things that, you know, in our modern sensibilities, we need to, you know, address. God knows the difference between true sheep and those that aren't. And as this good shepherd, he is a shepherd who also, knowing his sheep, knows how helpless we are. Look at verse 20. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself. There we have that again, that emphatic point of what God is doing. I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. The fat sheep are those that push with the side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with their horns, so they've scattered them abroad. And what does God do? He rescues the flock, so that they will no longer be a prey. He judges between sheep and sheep. Now this is an important point for us to remember and think about in our own lives today. Are we true sheep of our shepherd? Or are we like these bullish, brash sheep that push and pull our ways through and seek to muddy the waters, scattering God's people? The warning for those type of sheep is that God will judge his sheep. Jesus talks about this when he speaks of himself as the good shepherd. How are we to know that we are God's sheep? Jesus says this, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and what do? They follow me. If our lives are being typified by turning away from following Christ, not that we are like that sheep that wanders and is injured and Christ needs to come and bind up, but we are a sheep that continues to press against what God has said, then there is a real possibility that we are not even his sheep. And all throughout the scriptures, we see warning after warning after warning. My sheep hear my voice. They know me and they follow me. Are you following Christ? Are you walking after his example? Because if we're doing that, ultimately what that will do is it will cast aside any pretension that we save ourselves. Because we're helpless. We can't. We need God to come and to say, I myself will rescue my flock. They will no longer be a prey, for I am the one who saves them. All of these things speak to the strength of God's salvation. Jesus is the good shepherd. What does he say is the key qualifying point of what the good shepherd is? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Such contrast to the selfish shepherds who live only for themselves. Christ died for his sheep. And as the good shepherd, he saves with a strong hand because death could not hold him. And as he died for the sheep, so he raised victorious over death for the sheep, so that they are dwelling secure in their shepherd. Well, here we have Ezekiel writing this word of the Lord to Israel as they are being taken into captivity and being taken away and being disciplined for their continual sins. Who is this shepherd that comes? And we see Ezekiel being very clear about who he is. Look at verses 23 and 24. I will set up over them one shepherd. Who is that shepherd? My servant David. And he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. Now this is written years, hundreds of years after David had reigned in Jerusalem. How can David, who is dead, be the shepherd that Ezekiel speaks of? And this points us to the glorious truth that the saving shepherd is Christ, is Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus is that one of David's seed, the one who fulfills the Davidic covenant, that there will be a member of his household on the throne forever. And that's Christ. He is the one whom God has set up to be the one shepherd of his people. He is the one who feeds them. As John records that Jesus calls himself the good shepherd, so John also records that Jesus says he is the bread of life. He feeds us with words. He feeds us with hope in himself alone that satisfies our souls. Often think of how this corresponds with Christ's dialogue with the woman at the well. Here's this woman who is a stray sheep. She's been living a promiscuous life. She's been worshiping according to what the traditions of her people have been. She's a Samaritan, sort of an outcast in the Jewish society of that day. And she is showing her loneliness as she goes in the middle of the day to draw water from the well. And Jesus comes to her and says, he can give her water that will make it so she will never thirst again. That if she were to but ask him, that water that he gives her would become a wellspring of life, bubbling up unto eternal life. Jesus is coming to this strange sheep and giving them satisfaction in himself. And so Jesus comes to all his people. He comes to us by God's grace and says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I'll strengthen your souls. I'll provide food that will satisfy you forever. This is what Christ brings as he feeds us. And he is our great prince. I love verse 24. I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. You know, as Christians, we live in a monarchy. I know we're Americans, and we like to be independent, and we fought off the tyranny of the king, but our king is no tyrant. Our king is a prince of peace. And in Jesus Christ, we have this prophet, we have this priest, we have this king who shepherds us lovingly and caringly. If we seek to be shepherded by anyone else but Christ, we will go astray. In fact, that's what Israel had done over and over and over again. They wanted to be shepherded by the gods of the nations around them. They wanted to be like them. They wanted their influence to be like they were, so they would fit in. And what did it bring them? They were carried off into captivity by the Assyrian Empire, by the Babylonian Empire. The place where God met with them was torn down and destroyed. And so God gives hope to His people that His prince, David, would reign and shepherd His people. Well, as this saving shepherd saves us from the selfish shepherds and saves us with His strong hand, as we see that the saving shepherd is Christ, the final thing we see is that the saving shepherd gives us peace. Look at verse 25. After promising to do all this for Israel, for His people, He makes a covenant. I will make with them a covenant of peace. A covenant of peace. And banish wild beasts from the land, so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I love the imagery there. That they would dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. That when we are in an environment that is threatening, we are secure in our shepherd. What does Psalm 23 say? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or the valley of deep darkness, I fear no evil. Why? Because You are with me. He gives us peace even in the wilderness places and causes us to sleep in the woods because He is with us. He says that He will make them and the places all around His hill a blessing, and He will send down showers in their season. There they shall be showers of blessing. And if you read that verse and you don't think of the song, there's something wrong with you. There shall be showers of blessing. Send them upon us, O Lord. Do you realize how blessed we are in Christ? We have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Him. Our good shepherd gives us more than we could ever imagine. We don't even realize how great our blessings are in Christ. They are pouring down upon us like a monsoon of God's grace. We have limitless blessings. And in those limitless blessings, we have perpetual provision. Look at verse 27. The trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslave them. They shall no more be a prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. There is abundant provision of our needs, and there is abundant provision of security so that we dwell safely. Even as the nations around us, even as those who hate us would seek to destroy us, we are certain of our security in Christ. We are provided, as he says in verse 29, renowned plantations, so that we'll no more be consumed with hunger in the land. We'll no longer suffer the reproach of the nations. And this peace that we have from our adversaries, from the limitless blessings, the perpetual provision of God, all of it comes ultimately through knowing God through Christ. Look at what he says in verse 30. They shall know that I and the Lord their God with them. I love that statement. That our saving shepherd brings us to a point where we have a full knowledge that God is with us. And that we, the house of Israel, we, His covenant people, are His people, declares the Lord God. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. The saving shepherd ultimately comes to bring us knowledge of God as our God. He is a good shepherd who leads us through all the circumstances of life, secure and confident in His gracious blessings poured out to us in the Prince, David, Jesus Christ, who comes to shepherd and to save us. Now, the question we're faced with this evening, are we, what type of sheep are we? Are we a sheep who is constantly going astray, constantly forging our own way? Are we a sheep that seeks to push and to bully and to move around and to muddy the waters of what it means to be a part of God's flock? Or are we a sheep who, by God's grace, lovingly submits to the guidance and the leadership of our King? He is the good shepherd. He laid down His life for His sheep. May we follow Christ as the sheep of His pasture. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word and the hope we have in it. We thank You, Father, that even though we are stubborn, rebellious, sinful sheep, You come, You seek us, You save us, You gather us together as Your flock, You bind up the bruises and the breaks that we have caused ourselves, and You provide abundant provision and blessing to us in Christ. Father, today, reveal in our hearts those ways in which we are still stubborn sheep who turn from Your path. And Lord, cause us to hope in the Good Shepherd alone. We pray these things in Christ's precious name, pleading